Welcome back to the Path Podcast. We're so glad to be with you again after taking a couple months off. During that time, we've been listening to your feedback, reflecting on where we're headed, and preparing for what's next. We just want to say thank you to those of you who've been tuning in, sharing your thoughts, and most importantly, encouraging us to keep going. Our mission remains the same, to create a space for leaders to slow down, reflect, and do the deeper work it takes to become the best, most grounded versions of themselves. I'm Chris, and I'm here with Stuart and Toby. The three of us have come from very different professional backgrounds. We have a corporate CEO, a seasoned executive coach, and someone like me who stepped away from the high-stakes business world to pursue something more aligned and fulfilling. What brings us together is a shared belief that success doesn't have to come at the cost of your well-being, your relationships, and most importantly, your sense of self. Over the next several episodes, we'll continue to introduce the core themes of our signature program, The Grounded Executive. We won't be unpacking the full experience here, but we will be opening the door to the kind of conversations that are at the heart of that journey.
We've spent years working with high-performing professionals, people who are outwardly successful, but often inwardly stretched thin, disconnected, and unsure of what's next. These upcoming episodes will explore the five foundational tenets of the Grounded Executive. The first foundation is purpose and values. The second is self-understanding and emotional regulation. The third, mindfulness and presence. Fourth, resilience and adaptability. And lastly, our fifth tenet is connection and relationships.
And the work that we are proposing here with these tenets, it does matter from our point of view and our own personal life experiences, not just because what it does for your performance, but because what it does for your life. We've seen transformation that happens when professionals take time to get grounded, to lead with clarity, and to reconnect with what truly matters.
So whether you're running a company, leading a team, or simply trying to navigate life with more intention, this podcast is for you. We're honored you're walking the path with us. Let's keep going together. All right. So with that being said, let's dive into the first of the five core tenets we'll explore that Stu introduced to us. In our groundbreaking program called The Grounded Executive. The first tenet that we want to talk to you about today is about aligning our purpose and values. This one really sets the foundation because without a clear sense of purpose or an understanding of what you truly value, it's easy to find yourself chasing goals that don't actually fulfill you. We have some firsthand experience in that. Stu, you want to get us started a little bit?
Yeah, I think a lot of professionals end up there without even realizing it. You're moving fast, building, achieving, but one day you look around and wonder, is this it? That's usually a sign that something's missed the line at the core.
You know, and the thing is it's not just a philosophical idea, this idea of values and purpose. They have implications on how we lead, how we show up, and how we make decisions. And especially in these times of pressure and a lot of anxiety out there, when we don't and we're not clear with the values and purpose, it definitely has a negative impact on us.
Yeah, I'll speak from my point of view when we get into it a little bit, but let's break this open a bit. What does it actually look like to live and lead from a place of alignment? I've been feeling that over the last probably 12 months, never felt happier and more aligned. So I'm excited to share some of those experiences that I've had and the difference from being out of alignment. But how do we start to uncover our true purpose in the midst of a busy, demanding life that so many of the executives that we work with are leading? We joke a lot on our calls that it's, you know, we have these monthly calls with executives, and that's kind of our program through the executive coaching space. And it's interesting, like just to even get on some of these guys' calendars. Because we're, you know, they're so busy. And I remember this, Stu, you and I talk about this all the time. Oh, yeah. It's just like when we were executives, it was literally like, especially since COVID, I mean, we were running from one calendar entry to another, right? And half the time we didn't even eat lunch because it was, we were so overpacked. And what we were missing is that space to just, to reflect, to just pause, to just question how we've been living and what we've been doing and how we're showing up. And that's some of the stuff that we provide, and we'll absolutely go into it in depth in the Grounded Executive Program. But any experience there, bud?
Yeah, I mean, I just think about the quote, the grind's never over. Like, the grind is always constant. There's always something to get done. There's always the next challenge, the next goal to hit, the next person on board, whatever it may be. It just, the responsibilities for majority of the executives that are probably, or not even executives, people that are in are responsible for the performance of others or the well-being of others, there's this natural progression of wanting to take it all on. And what ends up happening is we end up running ourselves into the ground. And, you know, the topic around purpose and values, it's funny. We can be, I don't know if you guys can relate to this, but I can be incredibly clear on my purpose, and my values to a large extent play that bumper or those boundaries to keep you, that purpose in check and keep you in line with who you are. I think so many executives are clear on the purpose, but maybe are loose on their values. And that's where we start to deplete ourselves. That's where we say yes to everything and no to the wrong things. And we end up depleting. But I think this is a huge topic. But, you know, especially around the fact, Chris, like you said earlier, everybody that's listening to this podcast right now at some form or fashion has multitude of responsibilities either to themselves or the people that they care about. And how do you keep things in perspective so that only we don't get smothered by our own drive for success or drive for fulfillment? How do we keep some boundaries there?
Are values the boundaries, Tobe? I mean, is that kind of what are boundaries?
Yeah, I mean, I think that boundaries is an interesting word there. I think that it's alignment is really what I feel.
Yeah,
when I
better talk word.
About values, you know, like I always, you know how it, nowadays everybody's, you know, what's the vision and what's the mission? And so the corporate conversations, which are very important for teams and companies. And I look at our purpose and values with purpose is our personal vision and our values are the mission, you know, regarding like the how to. And for me, there's just so much, well, there's so much science around how it's connected to wellness when we're in congruence and in honoring our values. We know this. I mean, I just spent the last several days, as you know, in Vegas with some childhood buddies I grew up with. And it was interesting. I knew we were having this podcast and I was thinking about and really feeling about when I'm in alignment with shared other individuals that share the values that I do. There's just, we all know it. There's a feeling for that. And when you think about the purpose side of it, for me, it's a lot about the goal that you have for your life. I always believe, you know, people are meaning making and meaning seeking, and having a meaningful purpose about how you want to live your life is really the map. And I think, Chris, you shared with me that a purpose is a psychological anchor. I really love that. I think that's such an interesting, really cool way of looking at it metaphorically. I think it's also not only an anchor, but a map for us. And those values of ours, I think, are just the way in which we navigate this road that we're on. And it does. There's a social aspect to it, the people we keep around us. There's a health and well-being thing that you and I, all three of us on this call know, when we're in alignment with where we're headed and we're in alignment with our purpose in life, we really don't spend a lot of time worrying about the things that we probably shouldn't, or not as much. And I get caught up with a lot of the little things. I don't know about you guys. Those things get my attention. And I don't normally think as much about them, or they're not so much on the dashboard, if you will, of my life when I know that I'm in that road to purpose.
I love that. Hey, go back to alignment, man, because I think for many years, I equated success and alignment as the same thing. Right? Because society tells, hey, you got to be a provider. You got to do this. You got to get the nice cars, the nice, all that other stuff. So success, I was like, well, dude, I'm doing all the right things. I'm aligned. Like, what are you talking about? I got a big title. I got a nice car. I got a nice house. My what? Like, I got this great family. I'm successful. Like, I'm in alignment. But yet inside, the more success I had almost, the more further away I got from like who I truly was and who I wanted to be. And I realize now in this space, now that I've had a time to actually reflect and really pause on it and actually teach other people and kind of coach them up, like, is it the same thing? Like, and why was I so not, I don't know if wrong's the right answer. Why, like, they're not the same thing. And no. For me, especially, like, I see myself now, and I've never been more aligned. And you guys know that, right? I'm probably annoyingly aligned because I'm so passionate and I'm so excited about what I'm doing. And it's like, I get off a coaching call and I've like, I'm like, I have a ton of energy because it's filled my cup because I'm so aligned with who I want to be and how I want to show up in this life. And I look back in my executive days, and the crazy thing is, guys, this is the company we worked for was phenomenal. Like, I mean, I couldn't have worked and had a better 25 years with a better organization. It just, this was my personal path that I realized it didn't have anything to do with the company. Tobe, it allowed me to have a resource like you as an executive coach to help me unpack these things. Stu, it allowed me to meet you and build a great friendship with you over the last 24 years and a myriad of other folks. But yet, as I developed and got more successful, I just found myself falling further and further out of alignment. Any thoughts there?
I do. Stu, you want to go? You want me?
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
But, I think it's great. I think it's exactly, Chris. I mean, I don't think you meant it to be, but our grounded executive program that's taking inventory and doing the work here. And that's really, I think there's many, many men and females and alike that are probably, I feel successful. I have the car. I have the house. I'm doing better than my parents ever did. All of those things that are supposed to be the success stories of us. We may feel empty inside, a little lost, bored, anxious, depressed, all those things. To me, the alignment is really that's the work part. You know, like you and I, we all three are coaches. We hear what people's values are. And then the test is, take a look at your calendar. How are you doing on those things that you say are the very most important things to your life? How are you doing with those things with regards to the amount of time you're spending and the effort you're putting towards those? And again, it's not the outcome, it's the journey. And it's just one of those constant reminders that really is what the alignment looks like, is that it's daily, it's weekly, it's monthly. This is the work that will never end. But to us, and we know this, and I think people know this in a higher level, when you're in alignment with what you value and you have a purpose about your life and you're seeking meaning, you're more likely than not feeling successful, but it's because of those things rather than the other things that we probably thought were the signs of success.
Totally. Yeah. I think both your points are valid. You know, what's interesting, I like the word align, but let me go back to what I was saying. I think once that purpose and those values are aligned, that does become kind of the shell that keeps people from getting too far off their path. And those values become the boundaries of what we will do versus what we won't do. And I think, you know, a lot of the executives, but to your point, I want to anchor in on this, is that I think the work internally is getting that purpose and those values in alignment within self. But as that's clear and as you move forward, it should be the filter in which we make decisions about our life in a lot of ways. And when I talk to a lot of executives and I ask them, and we have an assessment process that we really start to identify, what are those core values? You'd be shocked at how many people truly don't define that alignment to their purpose and how those play into how they get utilized, which is where I think the word boundary does kind of resonate for me, is because they start to be the filter in which we make decisions. And I love the idea that when we say yes to something, we say no to something else. And there's a lot of times I've said yes to other things that desperately impacted me personally because it should have been a no. I needed to figure out how to say yes to me more and no to the perception that I was trying, that perceptive, to your point, Weiss, that idea of ideal self, when I knew it wasn't aligned to who I am, that's where I think the discipline of being able to make that decision creates a world of difference. And the grounded executive is, in my mind, is really built around, how do we filter life against our purpose and our values? How does life's interaction, what are the tools that we use to make the best possible decisions for us and for the people that we love around us?
I love that, man. I
couldn't anchor more in alignment, for sure.
Oh yeah, I love it. Like I again, we made the the program because it's what we needed, right? And Tobe, I had you as a resource who helped me with this tremendously, but I still needed a little bit more. I needed to participate a little bit more in our relationship. Like I realize that now that I'm, you know, the coach and not the one being coach, but I knew I was probably a pretty shitty coachee for you because I wasn't participating. Cause I just felt like I really couldn't. I couldn't really be aligned. I couldn't do because I was so in deep with the schedule, Stu, to your point, what I thought was success. I didn't really prioritize me and what I really needed to be doing in my life. But when I look at like what I would do now in the ground of the executive and what we do in Pride Space, it brings me back to a time where I knew I was out of alignment. And it was actually like Stu and for the audience, like I actually gave my notice to Stu, not my notice. It was like, oh, there was a couple opportunities in front of me. And I said, hey, could there maybe be a third, you know, like maybe there's a third option that I can maybe pivot some another way. And you were gracious in doing that, which is awesome. And look at it, here we are. But I remember a week before that conversation, and by the way, I didn't know I was going to have that conversation. It just kind of presented myself. And somehow that came out of my mouth that said I was going to, you know, retire and quit my corporate job. But a week before that, I was walking with Joy and she goes, hey, how you doing? And I gave her some bullshit, you know, example of like what I was saying. Oh, I'm great. Everything's always great. You know me. Oh, everything's great. Yeah, I got this figured out. And then she goes, I don't know. Like something's wrong. And that's not really Joy to push in too much. And she just asked again, and we use it all the time. How are you really doing? So she kind of used our own Jedi mind trick on me. And we're in the middle of a path in Peters where I live. And I just started tearing up. Like literally just started tearing up in the middle of the path. And I remember feeling so handcuffed and so scared and just not knowing that I'm not on my right path, you know, but like just surviving and grinding and still. And so, and I remember my response was, I'm okay. And hey, in 4 years, we'll get another payout, if you will. Right. It was always the next thing. And then I'll be fine. I'll be fine then, right? Like, I just got to get through these next 4 years. Think about that. I just got to get through these next 4 years. Well, my kids are going to be done high school in 4 years. Like, I got a freshman in high school right now, Tanner. So just another 4 years, hon, of being miserable and being not myself and not my authentic self. Just another 4 years. No big deal. To where you ask me how I'm doing in the middle of a path and Peter's and I start crying. Everything's fine, right? And I should have known right at that moment, like, go inside, man. Like, slow down. What is causing you this? Like, is there a resolution? Can there be? Now, it took something abrupt to me, like Stu, you saying, hey, we're restructuring and here are your options. And it was just like, whoa. And I didn't know that was coming, but that was the first time in decades that I chose me. And said, dude, I gotta go find me. Like, this is an unbelievable organization, but just for me, it's not aligning with who I want to be at this stage in my life. And I need to go do something else. So the grounded executive, we created it to provide executives that space. Again, hey, we're not looking for every executive to quit. I think we made that really, that was my path. That's bad business for us. Everybody that we work with, they all quit and go, you know, become coaches. That was my path, but like, how do we, like, what are your thoughts on like, how did you know you were off your path and off of your purpose and values or out of alignment when you were in kind of corporate America?
Yeah. I mean, my story is a little different than yours, right? I mean, I had a 27, wonderful 27 year career of a ton of fulfillment. I mean, tremendous depths of development. I had some of the most unbelievable leaders in my career, you know, that influenced and impacted me, not just at work, but at home. I mean, that 27 year career was phenomenal. So for me, it was like, There came a point, it was never about living outside of my ideal self. I was in the environment I was meant to be in. And in the roles that I had in that organization, I took great pride in and you know, had great success in for the most part. But where I relate is not so much maybe on the career part, but there's a lot of times, Chris, where I pick my head up and I said, where the hell is this? Like, where the hell am I? Is this really the life that I intended to build? Is this truly what my purpose is? Like, there was plenty of times where you know, I always bring up the question of, or to a lot of people that I coach, I said, what would the 12-year-old version of you say about you today? Like, what is all those dreams and hopes, and did you fulfill the goal? Did you, right. Are they still there? Are they still a part of your purpose? But, you know, for me, it was, I would look around and say, am I in the right rooms? Are what people are talking about things that matter to me, that resonate with me? Are my values in this room, whether it be my coworkers? But for me, my biggest aha was on the personal side, far less than the corporate side, because the corporate side consumed so much of who I was and who I am, and it filled so many buckets of a professional success and purpose, but it also built in my friendships. I mean, all my friendships were in kind of one location, and I took that for granted. And at one point, I remember being at a soccer game for one of my daughters, and I'm watching the parents come down and bring their chairs, and they're all huddling up, like, and catching up, and hey, it was fun last weekend. And I'm like, down at the other side of the field, and they're coming to introduce themselves to me. And I'm like, hold on, is this would never happen in a corporate environment. I would know everybody. I'd be high fiving. I'd be highly, but this part of my life is empty. Like, I have put zero investment. So here was this weird dynamic that in the corporate bubble, I was feeling all of this fulfillment and identity and success. And outside of my family, in my personal life, it was a happenstance. It was an afterthought. And that's where I picked my head up and I said, hold, you know, I'm out of balance. I'm not in alignment. I'm not getting that positive impact from the personal side. I'm relying everything in this bubble at work. And that became really heavy for me. So when it came time for me to say it was time to go, to be quite honest, it was kind of like, I've achieved enough in this environment. I've climbed to the top, but this other part of me is so empty, and I have the opportunity to go invest here. And that was to continue to invest in my personal development, but also this purpose of helping others and making that a full-time job, not just part of the job. The opportunity to go do this every morning, I get to wake up and interact with people and help them solve complex life challenges or even corporate challenges. There's just nothing that's been more fulfilling. So mine was more about completing the task. I had rounded out that side, but this other side was so underinvested and developed, and it had to go for fulfillment to be real.
Love that. Dude. That's so good.
Cope, what are you seeing out there from like the corporate world?
Well, I love, Stu, what you said, and Chris, what you said with regards to kind of when you were really leaning in, frankly, to what you valued. And from that, it inspired and motivated you and gave you some courage in some instances. The trick for me and what comes to mind while you two are talking is, how do we do it before we're at a moment of, I can no longer take, you know, what I'm doing or who I am? Or so it's not just the place you work, but it's who you've become and who you keep in your company and what your kids are saying about you unprompted. You know, like, hey, you don't show up the way that you say you want to be. And I think that it always is like, how do we do it so that it's not the crisis moment or the moment of heaviness or the moment of burnout before we, and again, Chris, I think the point's very well made. It's not about quitting your job. This is about finding purpose for yourself and identifying the values you care most about and trying to have those in alignment with one another. And the values obviously help with the direction of where you're headed. So, because I, you know, again, I've just talked to a lot of people about, you know, they have this, well, I don't want to do this and I don't want to do that. And you know, I'm like, well, what do you want to do? Well, I have never really thought of that. I'm like, well, what if you did think about that? What if that was maybe at the forefront of your mind? And they're like, well, but I'm okay with where I'm at, or I'm, you know, I'm making more money than I used to, or I have a high level job that I didn't think I'd ever get to, or I'm very grateful I have the beautiful family I have. And I'm like, listen, I love that. It's fantastic. But what if, you know, what's the impact if you don't have a map for yourself, some goals that are embedded in a purpose? What's the impact if you're not a very aware and eyes wide open on what you really value in this life? What's the unintended consequence for that? On the flip side, though, on the positive, what's the wonderful impact that could give you? The congruence, the honoring of, and leaning into that. And as I've already referenced it, but there's enough social and health related things, science and positive psychology and everything else would tell you that that when you're down that more proactive, leading oneself, self-leadership, a lot of what we're going to go through in our program, but usually people are waiting for that oh shit moment, you know, like, right. Oh my gosh, like, well, I'm looking around, I'm going, well, I'd like to be somewhere different. So, anyway, that's what just came up when you guys were both talking on that, as I think the magic is how do you create a level of urgency, priority, and focus in this space of purpose and values, rather than coming from a place of, well, I have to because I'm so miserable.
Yeah, it's so funny you bring that up, Toh, because I was on a lot of my clients right now are at the beginning of the year kicking off strategies and they're doing their financial reviews and all that good stuff. What just dawned on me when you were talking, when I think about the level of preparation for these presentations, and I did them myself throughout my career, weeks, multiple people involved with the build out, the design, the outcomes, what gets measured, how it gets measured, all of that. But yet when it came to me, I approached my job with such militant, focus and discipline. But when it came down for me to set my plan, to set my strategy, there were so many opportunities for me to redesign the plan. I gave myself an out on everything or didn't put any depth into it. But I just find it's like a light bulb just went off on how much effort I've put into external impacts that I make versus the amount of time that I put on the internal impacts on myself.
Yeah.
And I think when you ask, like, when you're in the middle of chaos, right? I think that's one of them. It's like, how much preparation am I putting into my business? And what gets focused on? And we grew up with a saying, what gets measured gets done. It's like, how much accountability did I really put on myself for that other part of my life? You know, and that balance. And I think the grounded executive, what really is going to be this idea of community and of multiple experiences of men from multiple areas and backgrounds coming into a place to where there's curiosity and where there's best practices that can be shared. But more importantly, that we get back grounded in the intentionality behind a purpose-driven life. Like, it is not something that just hope is a terrible strategy. It has to be something that we're convicted about. And just like in business, if we're not convicted about it, we don't get the ROI. Right. But how much do we take this serious?
Yeah, I love that.
Real quick, I sat in the middle of that path in tears, right? and I didn't, if a student come to me saying, like, we're restructuring, I'd still be there, bud. So I feel like that, and again, I'm saying this kind of a setup, but like men in particular, and that's one of the reasons this program is for 30 men, right? Because there's this like, well, I got to get through it. I can't be weak. Like, I remember feeling embarrassed that I was tearing up. Like, and I had no control of it, by the way. Zero control over these emotions that were flowing. But I remember walking, and Joy's the best. Like, she met me where I was and, didn't make me feel like a complete, but I felt like embarrassed. That's what we're tapping into, right? The man thing in this is to plow through and to not show weakness and to, you know what? Stop being a baby and just get through it. Why are you belly aching? Like, how do you get them to go internal, man? How do you get them to go inside?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. I better write this out. I love that.
It's snowball here.
Yeah, that was a fastball coming in, but I think it's a great point, man. I think all that I can remember you and I have in our conversations when you were in the throes of it all was just a lot of just the, what do you want, Chris? How are you feeling, Chris? What would good look like, Chris? You know, there's a lot of optimism with purpose. Yeah. And it's okay to be where you are. I think, Chris, that's even a better point that you made. I think, your own answer to the question, buddy, that is also coming in terms with our real truth and not making it a good or a bad thing, just making it the thing. Like, really, what is my truth right now? with regards to where I'm at in my life and where I'm happy and where I'm not, where I'm grateful and where I'm, you know, feeling distress or whatever else. It's always, we talk about this, guys. I mean, true path, for crying out loud. It starts with truth. Any road that's built on anything but truth is definitely a road that is not going to end you where you want it to go. So I think it's really that validation, certainly with, I don't know that it's just men. I know men is what we're focusing our conversation around, but it's females and men alike that just, you know, really anchoring into what's true about this moment for me. And then ultimately, what do I value? You know, it's easy exercises. You know, you pick from a list or you could go anywhere to find like a list of values. But you get and identify what those ones that you, and I would always say, don't use your head, use your heart. Like, what makes you feel good when you say this value of learning, this value of loyalty, this value of family? There's a feeling to it. And I think that that's a beautiful place to kind of, again, taking people from this maybe doom and gloom, embarrassment moment, this, oh my, revelation of, I don't want to live my life any further this way. And, you know, that's the farthest end of it all. But people find themselves in those spaces. And I think it's not BSing that, but once you've identified it, now what? Like, what do we want to do about all this? And that's a convo you and I had, Chris. It's like, you finally decided like, hey, I'm in on this coaching relationship. I'm going to lean in and do some homework before we talk next. I'm going to take some personal inventory and slow down. I'm going to name my embarrassment and my shame or my worry or whatever it was. But I'm also going to bring to you, if I was daydreaming out the window, what would good look like in this life I get to live and the things I'd like to do? You and I both know all that was is a values exercise. That's what that was. And then the purpose becomes the goal, becomes the ideal state, becomes that wonderful place we get to. And I always say, you guys hear me say it, and I know we all three of us say, hope's not a strategy. The beautiful thing about a purpose and goals is it's embedded in hope. It gives you a positive feeling. And the greatest leaders we're ever around, they have a high level of optimism. And so an optimistic viewpoint of yourself, imagine that, coupled with the talent you bring and the person you are, I think then we're cooking with gas, as they like to say.
You know, I think what I come down is what happens when you're at that crossroad, at least for me, it's like the choice of really choosing between keeping this a me issue and internally, or the art of vulnerability and that ability to speak what that feeling is to a trusted partner, friend, coach, boss, what have you. But, you know, Chris, I go back. I looked at this you from a different angle, right? It wasn't that you and I just started working together. We had 20 something years prior to that moment, right? And there was plenty of tension and plenty of frustration. I lived it with you, a large chunk of it. But when it came down to that decision and you choosing you in that moment, you know, there was something super powerful of it, but there was also this ability for you to be vulnerable with Toby and with Joy and with other people in your life and your friends, to be able to validate that the emotions and the feelings that you're feeling are real and they're normal and they're okay. To Toby's point, like, I love the idea of hope, but I also love the idea of, you know, doing the work. Like, the work is the discipline. That is the intentionality behind hope. Right? That positive future of where we're going, but we can dream all we want. We've got to put some action towards it. And that's where I think, to me, that vulnerability starts so much good. You know, it's a ripple effect of positivity when we say we're out of alignment. And to be able to share that with someone like my wife, to look at Shelly, you know, when I got out of my career, I was super out of alignment. Like, it was better for my wife and I when I was working, because we got into a system, there was a routine. And then all of a sudden I show up, you know, with a lot of time on my hands, a lot of boredom. And, you know, she didn't want to hurt me. So she played along. Well, it got to a point where there was tension until she looked at me and said, "Hey, I got to be honest with you. Like, you got to find some place to go, bro. Like, you can't keep just sitting in the living room or in the dining room and asking me five times, where am I going? Like, shut up." You know, there was this point where that vulnerability, it was like, I was already feeling that, but her saying that, there was just a connection to change. Now all of a sudden there was action and support. And now I had a community around the change I wanted to have. So again, I just want to stress the importance of vulnerability when you're in the middle of that path and lost.
God, I love that. And I also love that social aspect of shared values. Shelly's on the same page with
same
you
page.
On your values. And so when she sees that you're off on those, you're not honoring those, she course corrects you. And again, you also have a value of candor and truth and like you really
nailed it.
All three of us do, right? And so she's practicing and exercising the value with you of truth telling. And so again, it's you know, we are who the company we keep. And it's like, it's interesting though, as we get later on in life, some of those friends I used to have don't have anymore because we have different values in where we are with life. Oh. We also have a different purpose about how we want to live that life. So I think that's brilliant. I think the other point that you made that I loved was, I use it as like the dad thought, right? Like we all want to be the best fathers we possibly can be. I know that to be true with the two of you. And the work though that you said, Stu, is that in itself isn't enough. It's we've got to earn it, learn, lean into the values of being a great father in the way that we want to be, being present, being a better listener, not always, whatever our things might be. So it's again how the wonderful like mix of a purpose and values and how they really connect with one another, but you can't have one without the other. No. Because if you have a bunch of values, you can feel very good about where you are, but if you don't know where you're going, it's the old Alice in Wonderland, any road will take you there, right? Conversely, if you've got a great idea of where you want to be in this life, but you don't, you're not grounded in who you, the values that it takes to do that, you're disconnected. I think it's, you just nailed it for me, Stu.
Yeah. So how do we, let's kind of pivot a little bit to like practices. We're not going to get to the depth and for all the listeners, like this is the, we'll get super deep in this program, right? In the Grounded Executive Program, we'll create the space for you to really understand your values, understand your purpose and start to unpack that with you. And I think that's what Toby was for me when I was in an executive role. And it brought a lot of, just awareness and self-understanding, which is another tenet that we'll get into in the Grounded Executive, but we'll unpack that. But like kind of bite-sized pieces, guys, is there anything that help you reconnect now, like small little bites that help you reconnect to your values and purpose to kind of leave the listener with for the podcast?
Easy exercise that I would hope that people have done. If you haven't done, I think you should get a list of values. From those values, identify the probably your top. I always say go with your top five, but then I'm like, hey, if you really needed to pick your three best out of those five, what three would you pick? Those are the ones that I would say I want to be known by. I want my personal brand to be represented. Like if people know me, they would say, hey, these are his three values. That's what I would do is get very, very clean and clear before you get into how those are going to show up in motion, how by honoring those would look. But I would make sure that you're there. And I think the litmus test on that is if you've got a significant other, ask that person what you think your values might be from this list. It's a fun exercise to go through and it's fun in some regards, scary in others.
Scary, yeah.
I had my kids do that once. And they were of little boys at that time. And I'm like, hey, what do you think dad's values would be? And they listed off the values and work was number one. And again, I think work, I'm passionate about that. It can be in the top three. I just don't know that I need my boys to be thinking that's my numero uno because it was out of alignment with me as I had family number one. So I felt like those were sometimes competing. They don't always have to be, but you got to be very, very clear about how you're going to balance that. But that's what I would do is I would start first with what you really, and I said, less about your head, more about your feelings. Those words that really mean something and feel something to you, I would start there. It would be my beginning for the audience. Stu, what do you think?
Yeah, that's a good one. I was just thinking back as a recovering people pleaser by nature. Yeah. I think what comes to mind in this journey is how much of my purpose and my values is really mine and not the acceptance of people outside of me. Meaning, you know, whether that's even your spouse or parents or, you know, your friends or some kind of unfulfilled, you know, accomplishment that's out there. I think there was a period of time where I adopted the values and the purpose of others and drifted into that. And I think that one of the questions I started to ask myself in the last probably 10 years is, are these values mine or the people that I am surrounded by? Not that it needed to change, not that it needed to influence anything, but just the cognizant awareness again. And that's why maybe I keep leaning on that word of boundaries, is to understand how to remain you in environments that are testing that fortitude, whether it be in corporate environments, family, extended family, what have you. You know, there's an opportunity to acknowledge other people's values and purpose, but not kind of latch on to them and make them yours. That's where I got lost in a lot of times in my life, is I was so insecure about who I was, but so easily manipulated to be somebody else's purpose and somebody else's values. And that's where a lot of my pain came at the end, was looking up and going, I don't know who this guy is. I've fulfilled dreams for everybody else, but what about this guy? So again, I think my quick hot take is develop, to Toby's point, the alignment towards your personal values and your purpose, and be aware of the environment and the people that you're closest around, what their values and their purpose are, and understand the separation between the two. I think it would have saved me a lot of pain.
Yeah. Love that, man. Yeah. Mine's just super easy. Well, it's not super easy. It's super easy to understand, but it's hard to do. Just stillness and journaling and really taking some inventory on the feels. And this could be the day after, the day of, whatever, but really cataloging, your day and throughout your day, like what brought you the feels, the good feels, like what lightened you up, what filled your bucket, and really starting to catalog that and start to understand, like, when I'm with my kids, I lighten up, even though, couple of them are in high school and they want nothing to do with me. It's still like being around them. I find myself just with a lot of energy and a lot of enthusiasm and just wanting to be there, just really happy, really, really content. When I go running, I love the feeling of just getting out in the morning and the sun coming up and just doing something good for myself. So like health and wellness is a huge value of mine. I come in and I'm ready to go, right? Six of the kids are waking up. They're getting ready to go to school and dad's already been out for a few miles and he feels great, And I know that about myself. So just finding that space, giving yourself that space, prioritizing yourself to take that space to really catalog the feels that you have, that'll help along with Toby's exercise to really understand what values are yours and what lightens you up, like really lightens you up. So I've found that coaching, like helping people, like having a conversation with people, just help, Tobo always says it takes two people to understand one, like not having all the answers, but just allowing someone to kind of work through their issues and provide guidance and be along on that path with them lightens me up. Like I love getting off a call. Sometimes I take on too much of the empathy and of that emotion, right? So I got to work on that. But for the most part, man, I just love what I get to do with helping people. So some of the just small things. And again, in the grounding executive, you're gonna be attached to one of us. So we'll go through the values exercise. We'll break it down. We'll really challenge you on them. Really understand. There's a story attached to each of those values. And when you can tell that story, you'll be able to tell whether that's something that really is something that means something to you. So we're excited to go along with that journey. Anything to close up on this, guys, before we close out the podcast?
I'll just say this because it's top of mind and I'm passionate about this. For anybody that's listening and thinks this doesn't apply to them, I just encourage you to take a hard look in the mirror and ask yourself if that's true. I know so many men in my life and in corporate environments and outside that the topics that we're talking about during this grounded executive over the next 5 weeks or so, as we put out this content, I just hope more people get comfortable in the uncomfortable and the fact that this is, I think, a large extent, the future of leadership and certainly a massively needed gap right now are leaders that are very, very self-aware, grounded and in emotional control and understand how to drive business forward. So I think some could hear this and go, oh, that touchy-feely crap. Here we go again. Values and purpose. That's a thing on a document you do with HR. And it's like, it could be all of that. And maybe that's why the fulfillment hasn't been achieved or the path outlined the way it was. So I just encourage this episode and the ones to follow, just maybe move some of that insecurity or some of that ego to the side and lean in. You'd be amazed at what you might find out about yourself.
Love that. I'll build on that as my kind of my close as well. But of the two, as a coach for as many years as I've been, having people do the work of identifying and clearly stating what their purpose is, that's the hardest one. So to that point of doing the hard work, Stu, and people are a little scared of it, it's because it's very hopeful. There's an aspirational piece to it. And all of those analytic people that love that data happened or didn't it, finish line, start line are the only two lines I worry about. The work is everything in between. And that purpose work is what would a purpose statement or what would my goals align with my purpose be? Every single time, that's the most difficult for people. And they decide then to opt out on it. Values, I think we probably know what ours are, especially if we haven't been honoring them. It's impacting us negatively. If we have been, it's really making us feel great. But purpose is just, there's just more work to it. And it really, don't overcomplicate it. It's goals. It's the goals of how you want to show up in this life and how you want to leave it. And it can be that easy. And to your point, Chris, simple, but not easy. But stick to it. Stick with it because the work is the work. But I do believe and I do know with you two guys, it is the most gratifying piece of your journey and your path in life. So that's what I would just say is that I just know that's the one that's going to be the hard one.
The cool part of this program is we get to go through it too. You know, we build it based on what we needed. But like I could go through the value because I think now where I am versus where I was, I'd be interested to see if they're different. Totally. And my purpose statement could be a little outdated too. So I'm excited to go through with it. And that's what we also want to let everybody like, we don't have this figured out. Like we're still like this whole program is scary to us and we're trying to put it out. So we're going through everything that other people are and we don't have it all figured out, but we're excited to be on the path and the journey with you. The next topic that we're going to talk about to Stu's point is around self-understanding and emotional regulation. So that'll be the next tenet of groundedness that we'll focus this podcast on. So stay tuned for that. But as we close out today's episode on purpose and values, I just want to leave you with this, like success without alignment, it might look good on paper, but it really feels good on the inside. And if you're finding yourself moving fast, but unsure whether it's in the right direction, that's not failure. It's an invitation. It's an invitation to pause, to reflect, and reconnect with what truly matters to you. This is just the surface. Inside the Grounded Executive Program, we're going to, like I said before, we're going to go much deeper into this space, exploring your purpose, which Toby says is not, that's a lot of work. So get ready. Your values, and most importantly, how to live and lead in full alignment with both. But we're so glad to be back. We hope you enjoyed this. Thank you so much for joining us today. If this episode resonated with you, feel free to share it with someone or write something in the comments. We'd love to hear from you. We try to respond to everybody that sends us notes and emails and all that fun stuff. We get a lot from that. So please communicate with us and let us know how it landed. And more importantly, if you're ready to explore more, we'd love to connect with you on the inside of the program. You can find us at, you know, thegroundedexec.com. Or ping us on LinkedIn, check out truepath-consulting.com, our website. There's more information on there. So I'd love to talk to you. Can't wait for the next episode. Until next time, stay grounded, stay present, and keep walking your path.